Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Benton-Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Episode 84 of the VA Tourism Podcast is an exclusive interaction with the CEO of the African Union Development Agency NEPAD, Dr. Ibrahim Mayaki. Dr. Mayaki has been explaining the reasons behind the renewal of AUDA's partnership with the World Tourism Organization. The former Prime Minister of Niger, who has had an accomplished career as a politician, international statesman, and an author, gives a sneak peek into what he will be doing when he bows out as the head of AUDA in September this year. So welcome to the Tourism Podcast, and I'm privileged to be joined by Dr. Ibrahim Mayaki. He's the CEO of the AUDA NEPAD, and we are here at the Brand Africa Conference in Namibia. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, it was good to hear you espouse the plans of OIDA NEPAD during the partnership. But if I may only start now, what has AUDA NEPAD been doing as far as tourism is concerned?
Okay, maybe let me start by thanking you for this interview.
All right.
And I will focus on three issues. The first one is historical contextualization. NEPAD was the first institution to think about tourism development continentally in Africa. When I say continentally, I mean trying to design a continental strategy regarding tourism development. When we were instituted more than 20 years ago, we started thinking about it. In tourism, in agriculture, in infrastructure. But tourism was of special interest for us because we knew that it was a critical aspect for job creation and boosting entrepreneurship. So this historical point is important.
Okay.
Secondly, as an implementing agency of the African Union Commission, we provided to the African Union Commission the elements and the foundation in order to strengthen that capacity in terms of designing tourism strategies. And this is why the Commissioner of Infrastructure, which has existed since the beginning of a commission, in charge of energy and infrastructure, was also in charge of tourism because we pushed towards tourism to be part of the African Union Commission, even if it was not formalized. So that's the second point. The third point is that we started working with UNWTO more than 5-6 years ago. We are renewing our MOU now. And what we did was look at the priorities for Africa, because as you know, we organized ministerial meetings with African ministers of tourism where they flag priorities. And there is also a STC, a specialized technical committee of tourism ministers, which is following our tourism action plan. So we put all these elements together in order to see what critical elements we could work on. And we came to these very concrete free products or projects, the Africa Youth Tech, where we really looked at what the startups in tourism were doing in Africa. We went through a selection process. It was very attractive for many startups. It led us to selecting a few of them and supporting their training in a business school in Spain. So we did it together with UNWTO, And it was a success. Secondly, we redesigned the African tourism strategy, which is now very clear. So what the African ministers of tourism need to implement is clearly defined at the continental level. They know that they need to give attention to data. When central bankers know exactly what is the revenue which is coming out of the tourism industry, they can have an element in order to push governments to put more money into tourism ministries. Data is extremely important.
Yes.
And then they can also, through this strategy, check very clearly if the ecosystem of a tourism industry is working and facilitating tourism activities. What do I mean by ecosystem? I mean the single air transport market, which is very important. I mean the visa issues. I mean the infrastructure issues. So all these issues are part of the ecosystem. And also the support to micro, small and medium enterprises in the domain of tourism. The issues of intra-African tourism, how can it be boosted? What are the obstacles? So all these elements are structured within the the African Union tourism strategy. And the third point, which was a specific request from UOMOA, which had to do with security and tourism, we together worked on a white paper, which can be, for example, useful for Mozambique, which is facing issues in the north.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but again, you spoke about an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And now a key element you rightly mentioned is intra-Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to also connectivity.
Absolutely.
And we all know the issues that have bedeviled or has become, we don't want to call it white elephants, but we want to look at the Yamoussoukro Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still countries are over protective of their airlines, of their space,
mm-hmm.
which then, you know, set us back
mm-hmm.
in our quest to open up and in the travel. What is a body like AUDA and of course African Union in general doing to at least to be able to encourage them to do that? Because you've been talking about this for some time now,
mm-hmm.
and we still stand here. And you raised the points about, I mean, African Union can push, but what is the commitment level from the countries
mm-hmm.
to be able to make sure this is happening?
I think an important element is the political determination of the leaders. When you have a critical mass of leaders who believe in a particular instrument or a particular strategy, they decide, it helps them to decide to implement. And if you have followed the reform of the African Union, you would have seen that there is that figure of champions which has emerged.
Yes.
This figure of champions emerged because of reasons of accountability. At the African Union Assembly, we take a lot of decisions. But if I give you the proportion of decisions which are being implemented, mm-hmm. is very low. That's one of the reasons how the NEPAD was created. So the figure of a champion, for example, the single air transport market, the champion is the president of Togo. So he's accountable for that. So he needs to report at every summit what is being done. So when heads of states have this issue of accountability, they look at implementation obstacles in order to make them move forward. We did the same thing in many projects in infrastructure. And you know, the Inga Dam. The Inga Dam is 50 years old in terms of ideas. It was not constructed, but now it will be. So having this figure of champion is important. And our role as Auda NEPAD is to support technically as a secretariat each one of these champions in its domain so that he can have the elements in order to push. It is slow, absolutely. But at least there is a path which has been drawn, and there is an accountability factor which is put in place. But the second issue is the cost of inaction. We are doing it, for example, in agriculture. We have a biennial review with more than 30 indicators, and we classify the countries in different colors. Those who are in red are very bad results, and those who are in green have good results. We need to do that also in the other domains, and we need to do it in tourism. What are the countries which are allocating sufficient resources to their ministries? What are the countries which are prompting public-private partnerships? Which are the countries which are supporting startups in that domain? And then it's not blaming and shaming, but it's characterizing, classifying, so that leaders can be held accountable. You know, an accountable leader puts his hands in implementation. When he doesn't put his hands in implementation, then evidently accountability doesn't exist.
Okay. As I wrap up the conversation with you, we just rounded up the Brand Africa Conference. Mm-hmm. What would you say was the takeaway or something that we could still push? Because we all agree that obviously you may not have a feel and touch of Brand Africa, but you did quite eloquently espouse some points that we can begin from there. What is your main takeaway from this?
I have three main takeaways. The first one is that we see UNWTO on the ground opening a space of dialogue and interaction where you have expertise and at the same time you have political leaders. I think this new way, this new mode of governance is important because it helps put on the table many issues and it helps think about consensual solutions. It's important as a dialogue space. And it will be very useful for the ministerial that will be held in Cabo Verde. Being on the ground. The second takeaway is particularly a reference to President Gengob, because it goes back to the issue of accountability I was mentioning. He decided to come to a conference, even if he was not feeling very well, and he exposed his point of view on the necessity to bring Pan-African solutions and regional solutions in whatever we do. So it comes back to the issue of connectivity that you were mentioning somehow. So this takeaway is important because it's an example of leadership. It's what K.Y. Amoako calls transformational leadership. So that's the second point. And the third point is that many ministers discovered the content of the concept of branding, which is generally confused with publicity, but which is not publicity. It's much deeper than publicity. It needs a methodology. It needs a mindset. And there are very specific instruments that can be used. And the cases of the countries which followed that methodology and had results is an example of what has to be done.
Okay. Now, this is more personal. And as you retire, hopefully, in the last quarter of the year.
Yes.
And can you tell us a brief about yourself, who you are? We know that you've been in the political space for some time. And
yes.
What has been your story and what are you going to do in your retirement?
Well, my story, if you want, let me highlight 2 points. I was born in Niger, and I did my schooling in Niger, my university in Canada and France. And I'm part of the generation which was supported by their governments in order to study. So our main purpose was to come back and serve the government. And if you see now, a big change has taken place. Youngsters have a difficult relationship with public administration for many reasons, not in all countries, but in many countries. And it's not really their fault, but we don't have time to speak about that. The second takeaway is that I have a vision I've always had a vision of a continent in terms of regional solutions are more important than national solutions. I didn't invent that. Kwame Nkrumah said it a very long time ago, and many others. But technically, they said it politically, but technically now it is proven. But energy issues, tourism issues, transport issues, when you think about them in terms of regional solutions, you make a step ahead. And one of the things which I'm proud of within NEPAD is that we succeeded in bringing this agency to a level of credibility in enhancing regional solutions. So we have an expertise, and that expertise, we can compete with any other development agency in the world in terms of ideas on how the continent should move forward. And that's why we serve not only as an implementing agency, but also as an agency which is ready to provide advisory services. So I like to see ourselves as sugar in water. The most important thing for us is for the water to be sweet, even if we are not seeing.
That's interesting. Now, I used to go, because I know you're also a very accomplished author and writer. Mm-hmm. And so now that you're leaving, I know you'll still be in the system. Mm-hmm. Are you going to, you know, proceed, have more time to write about things that you believe in, because you write quite often?
Yes. Referring to what you were saying, I will still be in the system. You know, there are many systems.
Yes.
I will be in a system.
Okay.
My system will be divided in three. One part, evidently, I'll be writing, for sure. I'll be also liaising with policymakers around the continent, in order to humbly provide what I think is a path to go. That's for one. The second part is taking care of my grandchildren. This is very important, because I need to co-create something with them. So having that interaction with the grandchildren is extremely important. And the third part is more on the spiritual side, you know, doing more Tai Chi than I'm doing currently.
Okay.
Okay.
We wish you all the best, and we hope to meet you some other and tap into your wealth of knowledge that you've acquired over the years.
Okay. Thank you. I thank you very much. And you are the generation that will construct this continent. And don't have any fear, because all the elements are there. When I was referring to the $1.3 trillion
yes.
in pension funds and sovereign wealth funds, it gives you an idea of what Africa can do if it really decides to do
it.
Yeah. So it's your job now.
All right, thank you.
Okay.